Okay, so just check your calendar for a second. It is January 27, 2026. We're here.
We made it.
We did. And I have to ask, and I'm talking to you listening right now, after years of hearing about the AI revolution, where do you actually stand? I mean, are you still just sort of experimenting with tools on the side, or has it really fundamentally changed how you lead?
That is the defining question of this year, isn't it? We've moved past the novelty phase. The wow, look what this can do moment is kind of over.
Yeah, the shiny new toy phase.
Exactly. And that is precisely why today we're digging into the Mindshop Business Leader Global Trends Report 2026. It's this really comprehensive look at eight specific trends shaping leadership right now.
And I've got to say, this isn't just another tech report. The core idea here, they call it the AI augmented leader. And honestly, it's a bit of a
To
relief
believe how?
because the main takeaway isn't, robots are coming for your job.
Yeah, not at all. James Mason, who wrote the foreword, he puts it perfectly. He says the real challenge isn't just using AI. It's about using it to strengthen good judgment without losing that human element. And the report makes this very, very stark point. Technology will not compensate for weak leadership fundamentals. It only amplifies them.
Oof. Okay, that's a reality check right there. So if you're a chaotic leader, AI just makes you, what, chaotic faster?
That's it. It scales your bad habits just as efficiently as your good ones. The goal for 2026 is human plus AI. It's all about using technology to extend your capability, not replace your judgment or intuition.
Okay, let's unpack this because the report breaks this down, and the first part is all about the shift.
Yeah.
It's this move from, experimentation to real integration.
Right.
And there's a concept in trend one that I found absolutely fascinating. They call it middle-to-middle augmentation.
This is such a crucial distinction. For the last few years, everyone's been obsessed with end-to-end automation. You know, push a button, get a finished result.
That's the dream, right?
Well, the report says that's a trap. It leads to what they call lazy thinking.
Okay, but play devil's advocate for a second. Why is end-to-end a trap? If I can push a button and get a whole strategy doc, why wouldn't I?
Because if the machine does the entire job, you lose the context. You lose all the nuance. Middle to middle means you, the human, are at the bookends.
Okay.
You provide the quality inputs, the strategy, the context, the why at the beginning. Then you use AI for the messy middle parts, the data
Right.
processing, the drafting, the summarizing.
And then you step back in at the end.
Exactly. You step back in to stress test the output.
Yeah.
You have to apply judgment. The report's words are, stress test for quality and authentic human judgment. If you're just letting AI run the show from start to finish, you're not leading. You're just spectating.
So it's like if you ask an AI to write a strategy document, you don't just copy-paste it and fire it off to the board.
Oh, please don't.
You have to read it, tear it apart, and make sure it actually sounds like you.
Right. Because if you don't, you fall into what Tom Goodwin calls shiny object syndrome. There's a great quote here. Focus on doing something better, not something shinier.
We spent a lot of time chasing shiny in the last couple of years.
Oh, we did. Every new app, every new launch.
But this middle-to-middle thing, it actually sounds like more work, at least at first. You have to be so deliberate about what you feed the system.
It's more cognitive work, for sure, but it's less grunt work. And that leads directly into trend two, which is relearning core leadership skills.
Ah,
We're seeing a
yes.
lot of leaders struggle because they're relying on muscle memory from a pre-AI world or just from all the chaos of the last 5 years.
That's how I've always done it, Trap. But unlearning is so hard. It feels harder than learning something new.
It is. The report suggests we need a contrarian mindset. We have to actively challenge our own assumptions. And for you listening, the practical tip here is just invaluable. Learn through doing.
Yes. Don't just go read another textbook on AI theory.
Right. Apply the learning immediately to your day-to-day job. That's the only way it sticks. If you aren't using these tools to solve a real problem on your desk today, like
Yeah.
right now, you're not really learning them. You're just consuming information.
Okay, so we have the tech integration piece, but here's where it gets really interesting for me. The report shifts gears completely to the inner game, because apparently in 2026, we are all just tired.
The change fatigue is real. I mean, we've had a decade of disruption packed into maybe 3 years. And that brings us to trend three, psychological endurance.
I love that term. Not just resilience, but endurance. Resilience feels like bouncing back after you get hit.
Right.
Endurance feels, I don't know, preventative, like you're training for a marathon.
That's a great way to put it. It is a shift in focus. In the past, High performance was all about speed. How fast can you move? How quickly can you ship? But now, it's about operating under pressure without your judgment eroding. It's the long game.
And one of the biggest killers of endurance is something I think every single one of us is guilty of. Context switching.
Oh, it destroys your cognitive bandwidth.
I feel this physically, jumping from a Slack message to a deep strategy doc, then to a text, then back to email. My brain feels like it's overheating.
That heat is real inefficiency. You're bleeding energy every single time you switch. The report highlights that protecting your bandwidth by reducing this, it isn't just a nice to have, it's a critical performance foundation.
There's an insight here from a Dr. Lucy Hone that I want to call out. She says resilience, health, and life balance. They aren't well-being extras.
No.
They're performance foundations. I feel like for years, corporate culture treated sleep and sanity like they were optional accessories.
It's the difference between treating a car wash as maintenance versus changing the oil.
Yeah.
You can't drive the car if the engine seizes up. And part of that maintenance is managing who you surround yourself with.
Ah, the energy vampire rule. I laughed when I read this, but it is so serious.
That's very serious.
Yeah.
The report advises curating a network of quality leaders and actively avoiding people who just drain your energy.
But that's tough, isn't it? Sometimes the energy vampire is your biggest client or your boss.
It's tough. But in a high-pressure environment like 2026, you literally cannot afford to have your momentum sapped by negativity. You have to ring-fence those interactions, limit the exposure, treat your energy like a bank account with a very limited balance.
Speaking of exposure and how people see us, let's talk about trend six, reputation intelligence. This isn't just like personal branding for influencers.
Yeah, no, this is strategic. Your reputation is an asset that dictates the speed of trust. If people trust you, things move faster. Deals close quicker, hiring's easier.
Yeah.
But there's a specific point here about imposter syndrome that I think is brilliant, and it's pretty counterintuitive.
Oh, I circled this one three times. Because usually we treat imposter syndrome as a weakness, a failure, something you have to cure.
Exactly. But this report argues you should reframe it as evidence of growth.
Evidence of growth.
How? Well, think about it. If you feel like you're in over your head, what does that mean? It means you've stepped out of your comfort zone.
Huh.
If you never feel imposter syndrome, you're probably not stretching your capabilities enough. You're just coasting.
Wow, that is such a mindset shift. So if you feel like a fraud, it might just be a sign that you're pushing yourself into new territory.
Precisely. The goal isn't to eliminate the feeling, it's to recognize it as a signal that you're growing. And the credibility test in 2026 is simple. Does how you show up actually match what you claim to stand for? It's about alignment.
Okay, so we've got the mindset, we've got the endurance. Now let's get into the actual mechanics. How do we get things done without burning out? This brings us to trend four, strategic productivity mastery.
And we need to be very clear. Productivity is no longer about hours worked.
Thank goodness. The whole hustle culture of 2020 needs to stay dead.
The report actually offers a mathematical formula for this. It's a bit dense, but if we break it down, it completely changes how you see your day.
Okay.
It defines productivity as value times quality times strategic relevance.
Mm-hmm.
All that divided by time, times leverage, times effort.
Whoa. Okay, hold on. Let's visualize this. We've got a fraction. The top part, the numerator, is all the good stuff. Value, quality, relevance. We want those.
Correct. But the denominator, the bottom part, is the cost. Time, leverage, and effort. And here is the key insight. Effort is on the bottom. So if your effort goes up, your productivity score actually goes down.
That is wild. We're conditioned to think, I put in so much effort, I must be productive.
Wrong. If you are working hard, I mean, sweating, staying late, grinding, to get a result that an AI could have done with almost zero effort, your productivity score is actually terrible.
You're just being inefficient.
Terribly inefficient. The goal is to maximize leverage to minimize your personal effort for the same output.
So it's the 80-20 rule on steroids.
Aggressively so.
Uh-huh.
You need to identify the 20% of tasks that add 80% of the impact. And frankly, you need to leverage AI to handle the rest or just delete it.
Wow.
If you're doing low-value tasks manually, you are dragging that whole productivity equation down.
It reminds me of the middle-to-middle idea again. Stop trying to do the heavy lifting that a machine can do so you can focus on strategy. But you need a system for that.
Precisely. And to support that, you need trend five. Leadership operating cadence.
This one sounded a bit like having a rhythm. Is this just about having more meetings? Because no one wants more meetings.
That's not more meetings. Better meetings. high-performing teams in 2026, they run on a consistent beat. Daily, weekly, monthly check-ins. It sounds boring, but that consistency builds trust. The report mentions time boxing specifically.
I live by time boxing, but I find it really hard to stick to when the team needs me.
And that's where the discipline comes in. Time boxing works because it builds trust that you get things done. If you say you'll handle it in this block, you do it. But it also allows for something they call agile implementation loops.
Okay, that sounds like software jargon.
It used to be. Now it's just leadership survival. You have to be able to pivot fast based on evidence. If you only check in on your strategy once a quarter, you are way too slow for 2026. The market moves every single week.
And in a world moving that fast, you can't be an island. Which brings us to Trend 7, the connector in chief.
This is one of my favorite roles described in the report. We are absolutely drowning in data. So the competitive edge isn't knowing everything, it's connecting the dots between things that seem unrelated.
But how do you do that effectively? It feels kind of abstract. Go connect dots.
You have to break your echo chambers. The report explicitly says to read and watch diverse, contrarian perspectives. If everyone in your social media feed agrees with you, you're blind to what's actually happening in the market.
You need to intentionally find people who think you're wrong.
You do. And then it says to combine that with customer centricity. You use intuition plus data plus direct customer feedback.
The triangulation of truth?
That's it. Data tells you what happened. Customers tell you how they feel. Your intuition tells you where to go next. The connector in chief synthesizes all three. Most leaders rely way too heavily on just one of those, usually the data.
Okay, so what does this all mean? We have the skills, the endurance, the productivity, the connections. How do we bring it all home? And I think that's trend 8, strategic performance.
There's a quote in this section that just sums it all up. Ideas are easy. Execution is everything.
Preach. I have a notebook full of easy ideas. I think everybody listening does.
Right. So the report details this change success personal model. And this is where the insight really, really shines. They break down the probability of success into three buckets: readiness, beliefs, and capability.
They actually put percentages on these, didn't they? This blew my mind. I would have guessed capability, you know, the actual skill was the biggest chunk.
Most people would. But look at the numbers. Readiness, which means do you have the time and resources, that's weighted at 36%. And beliefs, do you even think this is a good idea? Is your attitude right? Is also 36%.
And capability, actually knowing how to do it.
Only 28%.
That is fascinating. So believing you can do it and being ready to do it matters way more than actually knowing how to do it.
It suggests that your attitude and your preparation completely outweigh your raw skill. The target they give is to score above 75% across all three areas. I mean, think about it. If you have the skills, the capability, but you don't believe in the change, the beliefs, you'll fail.
Or you believe in it, but you're not ready to commit the time.
You'll fail. It's such a powerful diagnostic. If a project is stalling, look at those three buckets. Don't just send your team to another training seminar to boost capability. Mm-hmm. Maybe the real problem is they don't believe in the mission, or they just don't have the time.
Yeah, capability is the easiest gap to close now, especially with AI, belief and readiness. Those are the hard parts.
They're the human parts.
And looking just a little bit ahead, beyond 2026, the report touches on this 2030 leadership capability model. It's predicting a blend of communication EQ, strategy decision-making, and change implementation. You notice what's missing from that list?
Technical coding skills.
Right. A few years ago, everyone was saying, learn to code.
The future isn't about becoming a coder. AI writes the code now. The future is about becoming a master of these human-centric skills EQ, strategy, change management, and then amplifying them with AI.
It really all circles back to the beginning, the AI augmented leader. It's not a robot replaced human, it's a supercharged human.
That's the perfect summary. The AI augmented leader has mastered the fundamentals, resilience, reputation, connection, and then uses AI to handle that messy middle work we talked about. They protect their energy, they leverage their time, and they execute with belief.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, the huge takeaway for me is just adaptability.
Absolutely. AI literacy alone won't differentiate you in 2026. Everybody has the tools now. The differentiator is how you adapt your habits, your psychology, and your workflow to let those tools lift you up instead of weighing you down.
I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over, something that comes from that strategic productivity section we discussed.
Go for it.
Look at your to-do list for this week. No, seriously, pull it up right now if you can. Find the 20% of things on there that will actually drive 80% of your impact. You probably know what they are. They're the scary ones, the big ones. Mm. Now, here's the hard question. Do you have the courage to delegate or simply delete the rest?
That is the challenge. Deletion is a leadership skill.
Good luck with the list. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.
Take care.